Hello, everybody. It's Tani here. Welcome to week two of this course. Good morning, those of you who are in Australia have just woken up. Good evening. Good afternoon to those of you calling from the US. I know it's a late afternoon there. I love the fact that we're all in different time zones. It's so gorgeous. So I just wanted to welcome everyone onto the call. I was just tuning into what we're going to be doing today, and this really is one of my favorite weeks to teach because the stuff that we're going to learn today is some of the most practical and pivotal stuff that you're going to learn in this course. We're going to be looking at really how to get past your nerves when you speak, how to center yourself and ground yourself, how to set an intention, how to get rid of the fearful thoughts that are going through your head. So often I find that once people have learned this stuff, and they're no longer suffering from nerves, then it's just so much easier to learn the rest of everything, how to speak from your heart, how to speak from your higher self. That all flows easily because usually it's the nerves that tend to get in the way for a lot of people. So today we are going to be doing some really practical tools that are very powerful and quite quick that will really help you with that. So I'm just really excited because I know that when I've taught this course before, these techniques have been ones that people have used every single day after they've learnt them. And you'll start to find that they're techniques you can use not just when you're public speaking or not just even when you're speaking, but just generally throughout your day to keep yourself very centered and grounded so that you can respond to life from a place of choice rather than from a place of reaction. So, yeah, I'm really excited about what we're going to be doing today. So I just want to just double check that everyone can hear me okay. So if you can hear me pretty well, press 1. If I sound really distorted or blurry or jumpy, press 2. Just want to get a sense if the quality is all right today. Oh, excellent. All ones. Thank goodness. This last week was a bit trying. Every single person ticked 1, so that's great. Excellent. So I really wanted to thank you all for the degree to which you opened yourselves up to participate last week because that was pretty full-on stuff to start with, a group of people that you don't know, and to really be looking at your beliefs, your core beliefs, and really to be sharing them with each other. That was quite profound. We are going to launch into a whole lot of new stuff today, but I just wanted to start this session by just checking in with everyone to see if any extra stuff came up during the week as you went and did the belief shifting processes again. So I'm just going to see if anyone has anything they want to share or report back or ask about in relation to the belief shifting stuff that we did that you guys have been playing with during the week. So if you have anything you want to share or report or ask, please just tune in and see if there's anything coming up and press 1 on your phone and I'll pass you the mic. It will be a really good way for us to transition from last week into this week if we just spend a couple of minutes talking about it. So I'm just going to give you all a minute. See who pops their hand up. Okay. I'm seeing Marion has her hand up. Marion from Canada. So I'm just going to pass you the mic. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. It's Marion.
Hello.
Living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, from Canada. yeah, Tani, I noticed that my confidence went way up, and I didn't really think about it until tonight when I looked back at the exercise that I had done again, and the second exercise I did, the belief I came up with was, I am not, you know, worthy, you know, people aren't going to care about what I have to say, that kind of thing. And my confidence just gone way up, and I was really happy because I had a little mini chat with the radio announcer I'm going to be, you know, doing a little mini interview with tomorrow, so or on Thursday. So it was really nice to be feeling confident for that call yesterday. So thank you to you and everyone.
Wonderful. And, you know, in that part of the belief process where we ask the question, who would you be with this new story and who would you be with the old story? And, you know, I asked you to imagine how would you act differently in your life if you didn't carry that belief and you carried the new belief? And what happens is once you take that on and start playing with it, you actually start going through your life acting in that way. So if the answer was, well, with the new belief I'd be really confident, I'd feel more self-love, I would speak differently to people, you'll find that that's what's going to happen because it is honestly as simple as that. Once we change the belief, all the behavior changes in consequence of that, exactly like when you imagined it. So I'm really glad that Marion could share that 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 actually happened with her in her behavior. So that's really great. So thank you so much, Marion, and I'm glad you did the exercise again. That's brilliant. Okay, I'm going to pass to one last person, which is Beth. Go ahead. Ooh, go ahead, Beth.
Oh, hi, Tani. Is that me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? No, sorry, I didn't actually put my hand up, but I'll share.
That's okay.
Happy to share what I had. I found it really profound exercise, because what came up was something I kind of knew, but it sort of really honed in on it, that being the youngest in a large family, I sort of, it was like your opinion didn't matter unless it was really, really important and nobody else was saying it. And so I did a lot of work during the week on that idea to sort of get to the point where I sort of felt it's okay just to express my opinion, my own opinion. Mm. Anyway, it was a profound shift for me anyway.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Back to the womb. I did some EFT on it, and I ended up going right back into the womb, and that whole I'm not supposed to be there, not supposed to take up space. And so
yeah,
to sort of shift that, sort of feel okay about taking up space, was actually really, really big. Mm.
Yes, that's massive. Thank you so much, Beth. That's true. That one comes up a lot with people that I work with about speaking, this idea of not taking up space. It's a really fundamental belief, and it can come back to the womb. So it's wonderful that you guys, I mean, why I like working with women like you, who are already very used to doing personal growth work, transformational work, spiritual work, is that you guys are prepared to look at the core beliefs. You know, you don't just mess around. You know, you're going to the deep ones. And that's why it's so effective, because if we can shift some of these in the first week, then it's going to make a huge difference, especially today when we're talking about nerves. A lot of nerves comes from our head, and our head tends to be influenced by what we believe. So shifting the beliefs is the very first thing. I've actually seen a couple of other people with their hands up. So I'm going to ask each of you to share briefly, and then we're going to move on to today's material. So I'm going to start with Alison and then Lyndon, and then we'll move on. So go ahead, Alison. Welcome. Hello, Alison. Are you there? I can just hear you. You might have to speak a bit louder. Alison, are you there? Maybe you're on mute. You're on mute. Sorry, Alison, we can't hear you. It may be that you've accidentally muted yourself. So I'm just going to pass to Lyndon, see if you can figure that out for a minute. Okay, we'll go back to pass the microphone to Lyndon. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Hi, everyone. Look, I've just found it really interesting. One of my stumbling blocks was actually the connection between my mouth and my brain, and that often I would actually stumble over my words, and then there'd be sort of this blank, and I knew what I wanted to say and all those sorts of things. And I found that this week, now when I feel that that's actually happening, is that I just go, ooh, into my heart, and the words flow, and it's just been an amazing, yeah, just so freeing that I can actually speak without thinking, oh, I'm not going, you know, that sort of without panicking. So that's been really, just been fantastic. So, yeah, thank you.
Wow, and we haven't even done that yet in the course. We're doing that in week 3, so you're like a super fast learner. You've already figured that out, so that's great. It's exactly what we're going to be playing with later on. Wonderful, thank you. I'm going to pass it back to Alison now just to see if we can hear you, and if not, well, we'll give you a bit more time. But go ahead, Alison.
Muted, but I'm not sure if it's worked. Hello?
I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you now. Great, go ahead.
It really just snuck up on me, and I didn't realize it until I took a look at my notes last night, and I was wondering what had happened this week that it had just gone so smoothly and so wonderfully. And it occurred to me that after going through the process last week, after we all spoke, I went through everything again, and all week conversations with people have just flowed, and I've felt confident and able to speak up. Like I'm usually really nervous and afraid that I'm not smart enough or I don't deserve to be heard or whatever. And this week has just blown me away. So thank you so much.
Pleasure. And isn't that wonderful? Because really the bottom line is our beliefs are the foundation of everything that we're being in the world. So if we just do something as simple as shifting the beliefs, everything, it's like we're now walking around in a different world, because the world that we used to be in, which was constructed by those beliefs, is no longer there. We've constructed a new world. So we're actually moving through a new world. And sometimes it can be subtle, the difference. You just start to notice after a few weeks that people are responding differently to you, things are unfolding differently, because the actual old world that you used to live in, constructed by those beliefs, no longer exists. So that was really powerful, Alison. Thank you so much for sharing that. We seem to have a lot of people on the call live today, which is wonderful. Last week we had a lot of people who couldn't make it live and came on Sunday night, but got a lot of people here today, which is wonderful. So I'm going to move into today's material, which is equally powerful, and we are going to be looking mainly at nerves and centering techniques. But before we do that, I just want to do a little bit of an introduction to this idea of speaking from the heart and speaking from the head, because it is probably the most fundamental idea and practice in this course, and we're going to be getting into it a lot next week in really real experiential processes and exercises. But just as a sort of introduction to that, I want us to look a little bit at what it's like to listen from the heart and listen from the head. Because if you can get a sense of that, then you're going to understand a little bit more about what it feels like from the other end when someone's listening to you when you're speaking. So, you know, I always like to start with a kind of meditation for a few minutes at the beginning of the call. And last week we did the love meditation, which I tend to not plan them. I just see what comes out of my mouth. And I really loved that one that came out of my mouth last week. And I actually wrote it down afterwards because it was quite powerful. And I had a lot of emails from people about it. So the one we're going to do today is one that I've done before. It did come out of my mouth spontaneously the first time I taught this course. And I wrote it down afterwards because I thought, gee, that's a really useful process. So we're going to do that today. So what I want you to do is just come to a nice comfortable position that you can sit in comfortably, put your pens and papers down. We're just going to spend 4 or 5 minutes doing a little meditation process. Just start to notice your contact with your chair or the floor, where you're sitting, underneath your buttocks, underneath your feet. Start to bring your attention into your body. We're always going to come to the body first in these processes because it's the fastest way to center yourself. And then take a nice deep breath in and exhale, just letting everything fall away. We'll do that again, breathing in and exhale. And now we're going to do a process of practicing listening. It's going to be an imaginary process. So I'm going to start by just giving you the instructions first, and then I'll give you a couple of minutes to actually do the visualization. So this is the instructions. I want you to imagine that someone you really love, maybe a best friend or a family member or a colleague, someone who you just really get along with well, so there's no drama here, so a drama-free zone. So choose a friend or a family or a colleague that you really like, and imagine, or a grandchild or a grandparent, just someone you love, and imagine that they're sitting in front of you. And in a moment when we do the visualization, they're going to be telling you about something that they're really excited about or something that they really care about or something that means a lot to them. And we're going to do it twice. And the first time you do it, what I want you to do is I want you to bring all of your energy up into your head. So above your shoulders, just your face, your head, your skull. I want you to bring all of your energy up into your head. And as the person's talking, I want you to be listening from your head. So that means you're going to be thinking about what they're saying, analyzing, wondering, comparing it, thinking about it. What would you reply? What would you say to them back? Is it correct? Is it not correct? Does it accord with your experience? Do you agree with them? Do you disagree with them? You know, judging, how are they speaking? Are they speaking too fast? Are they speaking too slow? Are they clear? Do they make sense? So it's all that thinking, judging, analyzing, interpreting, comparing, criticizing, all the actions of the head. And I want you to imagine that their words, as they're speaking them, are kind of coming directly up and into your head, and then you're just hearing them from your head. And I want you to notice how that feels. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes now to imagine that your favorite person is telling you something important to them, and the words are just going straight like an arrow from their mouth into your head, and you're just listening from your head, thinking, analyzing, interpreting, comparing, wondering, planning what you're going to say, all that head stuff. But go ahead and play with that for a couple of minutes. All right, everybody, just bringing that to a close over the next few seconds. Great. And so now let that go, let that conversation just fall away, and that person just fall silent, and they're sitting in front of you smiling. And just now start to bring your energy and your focus down into your heart, and actually feel your awareness drop down from your head, down through your throat, down through the top of your shoulders, down through the top of your chest, and down into the middle of your chest, into your heart space, and really feel yourself dropping down there. Start to notice the feeling in the center of your chest. It's almost like collecting an awareness down there and allowing it to grow, feeling a sense of love and warmth, connectedness to yourself, connectedness to your person who's sitting in front of you, connectedness to everyone, connectedness to the earth, connectedness to everyone on the planet. Really feeling this love coming from your heart. And notice how as soon as you drop down into this heart space, the mind tends to fall quiet. And so in a moment, what's going to happen is you're going to imagine your friend telling you something else. Maybe it's the same topic or a different topic. And they're going to share with you. And this time, I want you to let the words just drift or float gently into your heart space, and they just land into your heart space. And your mind is quiet, so you're not really thinking about what they're saying. You're just feeling what they're saying as it lands into your heart space. And maybe you just feel it as that feels like truth, that feels like not truth, that resonates, that doesn't resonate. You're just feeling the words land in your heart space. You're not interpreting them. Your head is quiet. I just want you to do that and notice how this feels different. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes again to listen from your heart to what they're saying as the words just float into your heart space. And slowly starting to bring that conversation to an end. And then just turn to that person and thank them for helping you with this exercise, whether it's a hug, seeing yourself hugging them, or whatever way you want to say thank you. Maybe just smiling at them and notice them smiling back. And then just say goodbye to them and they just drift away, knowing that you could always go back and practice this again with them at another point. And just start to bring your attention back to your body, sensing your feet on the ground, your buttocks sitting on the seat or the floor, where your arms are resting. And then just slowly start to open your eyes, wiggle your fingers around, wiggle your shoulders around to start to coming back into the present moment, into the room that you're sitting in. And that's quite a powerful process, and I'm really interested to hear from two or three people, anything you noticed, how did it feel different in this imaginary exercise? How did it feel different listening from your head? How did it feel different listening from your heart? Did you take the information in differently? Did it feel different to you? Did you respond differently to them? Just whatever comes up for you. So I'm just going to invite two or three people to press one, and you'll know who you are because you'll have something burning that you want to say, and then I'll pass you the mic. And particularly if you're someone who hasn't spoken before in the class, I really encourage you to, because everyone has something worthwhile to share in this class. So I'm going to start with Shannon and then maybe Angela. Well, hands are popping up everywhere. We'll start with Shannon anyway. Go ahead, Shannon.
Thanks, Tani. I think the biggest difference for me was when I was in that head position, I felt heavy and weighed down, and I couldn't hear what was happening because there was too many thoughts, too many processes going on in my head. Mm-hmm. And when I shifted to the heart, I felt that I didn't have this burning desire to respond because I was lighter and I was able to listen and really hear what was being said, what was being shared with me.
You're wonderful. That's one of the key points in the differences between listening. When we're listening from our head, it's all about us. What do I want to say? Yes. What do I think? When am I going to get a chance to speak? And when we're listening from the heart, we're actually listening. Actually, it's not about us. In that moment, we're just witnessing and we're taking it in. And then when we have an opportunity, we'll tune in to ourselves and we'll speak back from a place of truth. And it's such a different way of interacting. So thank you so much for pointing that out, Shannon. It's brilliant. Much better for this stuff to come from you guys than for me to tell you. That's why it's really great. Excellent. So I'm going to come to Angela next. Go ahead, Angela.
Hi. When I was listening from my head, it was actually really difficult to hear. Just with so many thoughts going through my own mind, I couldn't just hear so much of my own words and my own thoughts. It was really hard to hear the other person. But when I was listening from my heart, it was just felt a lot easier and a lot more just quiet, and just allowed me to be able to just hear the other person with my own mind being quiet. I didn't have to fight through my own thoughts to hear the other person.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for sharing that. That's kind of similar to Shannon's experience. And it is a really key point that it's ease. And in all areas of our life, we want ease. Not only is it going to be a much bigger gift to the other person if we can actually focus on what they're saying and get our mind out of the way and be really present, but it's actually also a gift to ourselves, because then we're in a state of calmness and ease, and then we can interact in a more powerful way with the person rather than fighting through our own mind to get to them. So that's a brilliant point. Thank you so much for that. I'm now going to pass to Gayatri for the last share, and then we're going to move to the next thing. Go ahead, Gayatri.
Thank you, Tiny. The first, that's the head position. I was very, very anxious with my nerves in a hyperactive state, trying to listen, trying to plan what to say. In the next heart position, I was very comfortable, very relaxed and at ease. So I could listen clearly because I didn't have to answer back, or I didn't have to be extremely alert. So I was very comfortable in the second position.
Beautiful. Thank you. And What I'm really wanting to share about this is that is a very powerful way to listen. And in the coaching groups that follow from this course, if anyone is interested in doing those, we tend to do a lot of practices around listening as well as speaking. But one of the reasons I wanted to do this at the start of the course is because what you just, I presume most of you noticed, how much more of a struggle it was to listen from your head compared to listening from your heart. But the same thing happens when we speak. So it's just sort of easy to do the exercise from the point of view of listening because we don't have as many issues around listening usually, whereas often we're carrying a lot of beliefs and nerves around speaking. But when we speak, the same thing happens. So when we're speaking from our head, we've got a million thoughts going on, and it's very hard to be calm. It's very hard to be connected to ourselves. It's very hard to be connected to our audience, just like how hard it was for you when you were listening from that place. Whereas when we speak from our heart, our mind is calm, and we're in a much more calm, easy, joyful, receptive state, just like you were then when you were listening from your heart. So it's kind of a safer way to get into it coming from the point of view of the listener, but it's actually the same thing. And all those words you guys were using to describe how much more stressful it was when you were all in your head and how much calmer it was when you were in your heart is exactly the same as what's going to happen when you speak from your head. It's very, very stressful. We create so much drama for ourselves compared to when we speak from our heart. So it's really just a lovely, gentle introduction into this for all of you. And as well, obviously, the more we can practice listening from that space, the more dramatically our conversations with other people are going to change. Because even if you're on an audience with 1,000 people, if you're all about you and your head and what you're planning to say and you don't actually listen to your audience, and it can be as simple as pausing every now and then and tuning into the energy that's coming back at you, even if they're not verbally speaking, you're going to miss out on most of the nuances and you're going to alienate them. Because if you, as we start to practice learning to listen from our heart, then when we're on stage, if there's a moment of pause or if someone puts their hand up or lots of the many ways that we have a chance to listen, we can really be present and we can really respond to what's coming towards us. And obviously it's the same in a one-on-one conversation. It's much more obvious because the whole quality of the conversation is going to change simply by us changing the way we're listening. Even if we're still doing all our habits with speaking we've always had, and all we change is the way we're listening, the whole conversation will change anyway. Because if one person shifts one part of the dynamic, the whole thing will change. Because there are four parts in any conversation. There are two speakers and two listeners. So that's four roles. One person speaks, one person listens, one person speaks, one person listens. There's four roles. If you change even one of those, it changes the whole dynamic. So that might be a nice thing for you guys to play with this week as you go around your day, even just chatting with someone in the supermarket or chatting with your friends. Just make a note of that to just play with this thing of you can do it. They won't even know you're doing it. You can just play with listening from your head and listening from your heart. And you'll see that they will speak differently. You know, when you're listening from your head, they'll feel it and they'll start to speak faster, they'll try and convince you. They'll feel it when you drop into your heart. They will completely relax. They'll change their tone. They will get much less forceful in how they're speaking. It's a really, really fun thing, an interesting thing to play with. It just has to lock this in. So I'm going to invite you to play with that. We're going to move on now to the speaking side of things. But really, this is one of the fundamental foundations of it, because one of the things we want to do is to start to get out of our heads, both when we're listening and when we're speaking. So I'm going to, in a few minutes, go through with you some really practical grounding and centering techniques that we can do. But before I get into those, I want to go through some of the mind techniques that we can use, because they're also very powerful, as we saw last week. So the very first strategy to get rid of nerves. Actually, you know what? I've just changed my mind. I don't actually want to start talking about nerves yet. I want to actually hear from you guys about nerves, because I think that will change the specifics of what I talk about, because I prefer to talk in response. So I'd love to hear from a few of you before I start going into possible strategies for nerves. I want to start to hear from a few of you about nerves. So I'm going to ask three or four people to speak about in what way do nerves play out for you. You know, do you suffer from nerves when you speak? Does your mind go blank, or does your face go red, or has it happened your whole life? Or just share with us a little bit about nerves. Is it something that you suffer from? How has it affected your speaking? And just trust that 90% of the women on this call are also have a history of feeling nervous when they speak. So everyone is going to be nodding their heads and resonating with you when you speak. There may be a few people on the call who don't suffer from nerves, who have different issues around speaking, and that's okay. You'll probably still learn a lot from this. So I'm going to ask a few people to press one on your phone and share with us, because it's going to give some rich fodder for me to respond to come up with some really powerful strategies for you guys. So let's start with Maria, who we haven't heard from yet, so that's beautiful. Go ahead, Maria.
Hi, good morning, everybody, or good evening. The way nerves show up for me when I'm speaking is that my mind goes blank, and also it's simultaneous that my mind goes blank and then my internal chatter starts, you know, the yes. stuff that says, oh, you know, the stuff that gives you a hard time. So that's how nerves show up for me. It's sort of two things happen simultaneously.
Thank you so much, Maria. That's a really common one. Actually, both of those are really common. And sometimes they both happen to the same person. So some people, their mind just goes blank and then they just panic. Some people, they just have constant thoughts going through their mind while they speak, oh my God, this is not going well, they don't like me, I shouldn't have said that. And some people have both, they go blank, and then all the self-talk starts. So I'm really glad Maria shared that one. I just want to speak briefly about the mind going blank thing, because it's extremely common. I hear it from all the women who do this course, from many, many people. And what's interesting, what most people don't know about that is that one of the reasons our minds go blank is because we're trying to follow a train of thought, because we tend to be speaking from notes and from a plan and from our head. And what happens is as we go through this course and you start to learn how to speak in a different way, which is speaking in the present moment, what wants to come up now? What needs to come up now? What words are right to be spoken now, rather than what did I plan 3 hours ago? What did I say last time? When we're speaking in the present moment, there actually is nothing to remember, because you're creating it as you go. Now, that may sound scary to some of you, but I guarantee that once you have that experience of doing it, it is so much easier, because there's nothing that you're trying to remember. So you just don't have the experience of going blank. If you finish what you're saying, you just stop and you tune in again and something else will come up to be said. And so it's the urge to follow a train of thought that we have planned in the past that tends to lead to us going blank. And no one tells us this, because the common way of speaking is to prepare in advance, write it down, write a script, speak from very detailed notes. And a lot of what we're going to learn over the next few weeks is how to speak, is how to speak with less detailed notes, so that there's much more space for being in the present. And we'll see that a lot of the going blank is going to change for a lot of people. The other thing is, it is very interesting how we handle it when we go blank. So as Maria said, what most of us will do is we'll go blank and then we'll go into all the self-talk. Oh my God, I just went blank. What was I supposed to say? What was I saying? Oh shit, they're all staring at me. Everyone's going to think I'm an idiot. Oh God, I fucked it up again. Oh, last time was so much better. What did I do? You know, and we're just going to talk. What's interesting is that the audience actually doesn't care if our mind goes blank. What they care about is how we respond to it. So I'll give you an example. There was a woman who did my first whole woman speaking course, who shared with the class later in the course, after we'd learnt this stuff, a few weeks later, she shared with us that she'd had an experience. She'd had to speak at some talk somewhere on stage, I think. There's usually two or three women in any course I'm doing that are actually required to speak on stage, and then many of the others, it's just more about speaking, you know, one-to-one and with clients and with their family. But there's always a couple who have to speak on stage. And this woman had to go and speak on stage. And what had happened was, halfway through talking, she'd gone blank. But instead of responding in her old way, which would have been to panic and, oh, beat herself up, oh, my God, they're all looking at me, everyone hates me, I'm so stupid. Instead of all of that, because we'd done so much work on shifting all of this, she just called out to the audience, hey guys, I've gone blank, can anyone remind me what I was just saying? And they all laughed, and they told her, and she kept talking, and everyone forgot about it, including her. She was so excited to share this with us, because she didn't lose her audience. And in fact, you can't lose an audience if you're coming from your heart and you're being biased and you're speaking authentically. You could drop all your notes, they'd all fall into the wrong order, you could forget everything you'd planned, your PowerPoint presentation won't work. The audience won't care, because what they care about is how confident is this person, how on top of things is this person, how much is she in her heart, how much can we trust her? So if you turn to them and say, oh my God, I just dropped all my notes, just give me a moment, I'm just going to put them back in order, and then you stand up with a smile on your face and you're happy and you're confident, they're not going to care at all. But what they are going to care about is if you start panicking and stumbling and beating yourself up, because they're going to feel that and they're going to think, God, this person's in a state of panic. I thought they were supposed to be an expert. They don't seem to be very confident about this. And it's they're picking up on your response to the going blank. They're not picking up on the going blank. They don't care if you go blank. They don't care if your PowerPoint breaks. They don't care if you forget what you're saying. All they are caring about is, does this person feel confident? Are they in their heart? Are they happy? Do they feel centered? And it's amazing that when you're in that place, the number of things that can go wrong, and the audience, you won't lose your audience. And you saw that last week. You know, I fell off the call. I couldn't get back on Skype. I didn't have the number. It took a couple of minutes. If I had come back on in a completely frazzled state with all this mental talk going on, you know, people might have started to think, gosh, she doesn't really know what she's doing. This isn't a very good course. But no one had that reaction that I know of, because I came back on exactly the same way I left, just completely connected to myself and confident. And it's really powerful, and you guys will all get to this point where you can let the self-talk go and just be present to whatever is happening as you're speaking. And if what happens is that you forget something, or you lose your place in your notes, or PowerPoint stops working, or the person at the opposite end of the table has to take a phone call, or the lights go out, or your computer crashes, or whatever happens, you can stay present and speak from that place rather than going into all the self-talk. So I'm really grateful to Maria for sharing that, because those are two of the most common things that can cause nerves when we speak, going blank and then going into our head and panicking about it. So that's brilliant. I'm going to call on one more person, Heather, share about her experience of nerves. Go ahead.
Well, hi everyone. I actually got nervous as soon as I pressed 1 on the keypad. So it's a good experience for me to just reflect on that and see that it happened to me, because then now I can get out of my head and into my heart. It's a really nice, rainy, comforting, quiet day in Tassie. And my bub's gone to bed, so I'm having a really relaxing time being on the course and just enjoying listening to everyone speak. And I'm already getting so much out of it, and we've only been on the call for half an hour, or time's flown. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I'm learning a lot.
Great. Thanks so much, Heather. And that was really beautiful what she just modelled for all of us, because, yes, she was nervous when she pressed 1. It brought up her stuff. She went a bit into her head. But could you all feel how, as she started to speak, she really started to drop into her heart? She just tuned into, this is where I am. It's raining in Tasmania. I'm feeling happy. I put my baby to sleep. And I could just feel the nerves just falling off. I'm just going to ask Heather, how did that feel for you as you just started to share authentically then? Did you feel a bit less nervous?
Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised that I can connect over the internet with everyone, and I feel really good.
Great. Really excellent. Beautiful. Really what this course is about building up levels of trust. I always say that to the women who do this course, that, you know, it's like little steps. And each time we take another little step and we go, oh, that wasn't as hard as I thought. Well, that actually felt better than I thought it would. We build the next level of trust. And this whole course is designed around building levels of trust. So that's really great that someone who feels nervous to press the button still pressed it and found that it was okay. And then the next time it will be much easier for her to press the button. And I'm sure there are other women doing the course who have not yet felt able to, you know, press 1 and share, and that's okay, because a point will come where you really will feel that inner confidence that you can press it and you can speak and you can trust yourself to speak. So that's great. So I want to talk a little bit about some techniques to deal with these nerves. I've hinted at it a little bit when I responded to Maria. Actually, there's one last person here who wants to share, so I think that will be helpful. So I'm going to pass to Alison to share your experience of nerves. Go ahead.
That was the previous one. That's okay.
Oh, the previous one.
Yeah.
Oh, that was weird.
You caught me with a licorice all sort in my mouth.
I just saw a number come up for you. How funny.
That's okay. Nerves. Yes, I tend to break out in a bit of a sweat sometimes. My heart palpitates. Occasionally I'll have an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
But usually it's more going blank and stumbling, which I am a little bit now, and just the heart palpitations. And I, if I'm standing in front of a group of people, I'm always absolutely certain, dead certain, that they can see my heart beating faster and faster.
How interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's great. I'm really glad I called on Alison accidentally then, because I really was hoping someone would speak about the physical sensations of nerves, because nerves doesn't just affect us at a mental level. It is a physical and emotional experience. And I've had women do this course whose faces turn beetroot, who start breathing really fast, whose hands go sweaty. There are physical responses that happen in our body when we go into a state of nerves. And that's why later in this class I'm going to be teaching you physical techniques you can do to keep yourself very grounded and centered. And that will mean that these nerves' physical responses won't happen, because you'll be putting your body in a state of deep calm and centeredness. So I'm really glad that got brought up, because it's very, very common. And it's okay. And it's actually okay if it happens. Because, again, your audience is not going to judge you for that, especially if you're lighthearted about it. Say, oh, look, I've just gone bright red. You know, if that was something I suffered from, that I went bright red when I was nervous and I was speaking, I would say, oh, my God, guys, I'm bright red. That always happens when I'm nervous. That shows I'm really excited about speaking in front of you guys today. Wow, it shows I'm really passionate about what I have to share. So let's just hope my face goes red a few more times when I'm talking, because you're going to see how passionate I am. And that's just a nice way to turn it into a positive, to reframe it. There's always ways that you can reframe it, because your audience does not care if you go red. They don't care if your hands sweat. They don't care if you're trembling. They just care that you're passionate about what you're saying, and that you're connected to them, and that you're in your heart. So if your hands are trembling, you can draw their attention to it and say, goodness, look, my hands are trembling. That shows how important today's talk is to me. So I'm really glad you're all here, because this is really important. You know, people respond to our truth. They respond to our authenticity. They respond to our vulnerability. I've turned up at workshops and, you know, in a terrible state because I had really bad period pain, or boyfriend just broke up with me and I was crying. I remember running the Women's Vision Circle last year in New Zealand, and, you know, I'd just turned up in Wellington. The man I'd moved to New Zealand for had just broken up with me, and I woke up that morning crying hysterically the whole morning. And then half an hour after waking up, I had to run this global telecall, and I thought, I can't pretend I'm in a good state, so I'm not going to. So I just started by saying, guys, I'm in a really sad state at the moment. I'm feeling very vulnerable and shaky. I just want to share that with you. So the class is going to run a bit differently today because I'm in a different space. And it all went beautifully. And it's like you win people's trust by being honest with them. They don't hold against you the fact that your face is red, or your hands are trembling, or you're sad, or you're tired. They actually become something that they love you for. It makes them endear to you, because they can feel that you're just sharing their truth. What puts people off is when we beat ourselves up for it and we disconnect from the audience and go into our head and start thinking, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, my face is red, they must hate me, oh, my God, oh, my God. Then we've lost them, because they can't feel us anymore, because we've disappeared, we've disconnected from that. So I just want to put it out there that whatever your body's doing physically is not actually going to put the person off. What we need to look at is our responses to it, because that's where the issues come up. So that's what we're going to be looking at now. So the first part of that is our underlying beliefs. As we looked at last week, our underlying beliefs are going to be creating a lot of this response, particularly the physical nerves. You know, when we stand up and suddenly we go blank, or our hands are shaking, or we're trembling because we're carrying a belief that no one's going to like me, I'm stupid, I'm not worthy, they're not interested, or whatever our belief is. And so the work you did last week is the single most important thing you can do to shift your nerves, and that's why I really want to encourage you guys to go back to that exercise a few times over the next few weeks and shift more and more of your beliefs. Because some of you have already shared how as the week's gone on, you found yourself speaking with more confidence, the nerves are going to get less, because it's the beliefs that create the nerves. The second thing is, in terms of mental techniques, beliefs and stuff, is what I've found is a lot of nerves are created by us overly inflating the significance of our speaking. So I'll give you an example of that. Last year I was asked to mentor a whole bunch of women around the world in this for this organization called The Difference. And I don't know if there's anyone here in this course who's a member of The Difference, but I used to have a lot of people come from that. And they they're a beautiful organization, and they had a program going where every member of their organization was going to be interviewed for 6 minutes, and that interview was going to be put on their website, almost like an online TV station of these little six-minute interviews. So all the women who are members of that organization are change agents, heart-centered entrepreneurs like you guys, and they were all really nervous about doing this filmed interview for 6 minutes that was going to go onto this online TV show website thing. And I was one of the mentors that was asked to train them over a period of 12 weeks to prepare for their interviews. And I had all these women ringing me and writing to me, and I just started to get stunned with how nervous everyone was about it. And when I talked to them, I realized that the reason they were nervous was they had built it up in their head to such a significant, important thing. And I started thinking, goodness, isn't it interesting how the more someone builds something up as being significant, the more nervous they get. And it's a really simple thing to shift. So a good thing to do is to ask questions. Okay, so let's say I'm about to do this 6 minute interview. You know, is it going to be the end of the world if I don't do it well? Is this going to be the last chance in my whole life I ever get to speak about this thing that I care about? Am I ever going to get another opportunity to speak? You know, is my life going to end if this doesn't go well? Is this really going to end my whole business career if I don't even do this talk, or I don't do it as well as I could? Because people tend to run a story that, gosh, I have to get this 6 minute interview perfect because, oh my God, it's just so important. And you know what? It's extremely rare that any talk we give is that important, because usually you're going to get a chance the following week to talk to the same person, particularly if it's your family or your friends. You could call them up the next day and do it again. Even if it's a talk in front of 1,000 people, you're still going to get other chances in your career to speak in front of audiences if that's what you do in your career if you're a speaker. So it's usually just in our head that it has this huge significance. And so a really good question to ask is, you know, would it be the end of the world if this doesn't go perfectly? Does it really need to go perfectly? Is this the only opportunity I'm ever going to have to share my beliefs? So, you know, I've done a few telecalls in the last month, and in some of them I've been speaking about topics that I haven't spoken about before. And you know, if I was running this belief that, oh my God, this telecall is so important, I have to do it perfectly because it's so important for my career and this information has to get out to the world because it's going to change the world, I would have made myself so nervous I wouldn't have spoken very well. But I remember, just because I'm in such a long-term habit of minimizing the importance of things, because I learned that very, very early in my life, how helpful that was, I just think, oh, well, it's just a talk. It'll either go well or it won't. It's not the last talk I'm ever going to do in my life. It would be nice if it went well, but if it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. And if you can start to shift your thinking to that approach, you're going to find your nerves will fall away, and the irony is you will speak much better and things will go better. The second thing you can do is to lower the significance of something is to find a lighter reason for doing the talk. So often we find these really important reasons, like, I have to do this talk because I have to save the planet, or I have to do this talk perfectly because it's the most important talk I'm ever going to do in my career, or I have to do this talk perfectly because there's some really important people in the audience who are listening who could change the course of my life. You know, we find these really important reasons. And what I'm going to invite you to do is start to find some lighter reasons. Well, okay, so it might not go perfectly, but the reason I'm doing this talk is because it's going to be a good learning experience for me. I'm going to do this talk because it's going to be great practice of everything I'm learning in Tani's course. I'm going to do this course because I know there's a few friends of mine in the audience and it'll bring a smile to their face to see me taking a risk and speaking. I'm going to do this talk because I think it might actually be fun. Or I'm going to do this talk because I actually quite like the experience of standing up in front of an audience and I want to see what this particular audience's energy feels like and notice how it's different from the last one and just have a bit of a play with that myself just for my own amusement and learning. So it's like shifting the importance away from the reason I'm doing this talk is to improve my career or save the planet or win over these important people to lighter reasons that have a bit more space around them. I'm doing it to learn. I'm doing it to practice. I'm doing it to have fun. And when we choose the second lot of reasons, then it doesn't matter so much if it's not perfect because it doesn't need to be perfect if we're just doing it for fun, for learning, for practice, to play with energy, to enjoy what it's like to speak, to grow our levels of trust a little bit and grow our levels of trust a little bit, then it doesn't have to be perfect. Whereas if this is our one chance to save the whales, or this is our one chance to further our career, or, you know, gosh, then we're going to have so much pressure on ourselves to make it perfect. So that's the second thing. So the first thing is to ask different questions, like, you know, would it be the end of the world if I didn't do this talk or if I didn't do it brilliantly? you know, does my career depend on it? Is there a lighter reason? Is this the only chance I'll ever get to speak about this again? So those are really good questions to ask. I'm actually just going to write that one down because I haven't said that one before. It's quite useful. This is the only chance to speak about this. Again. And usually when we really sit with that, the answer will be no, of course it's not the only chance to speak. Maybe I'm not going to get to do a 6-minute interview for The Difference again, but I am going to get to speak about this to my friends, or maybe write a blog about it, or maybe, you know, write a book about it, or maybe at some point in the future someone will ask me to do a talk. You just don't know. It's extremely unlikely it's the only chance you're ever going to get to speak about it. Now, the third thing you can do after asking the questions around significance to try and lower the significance and then also finding lighter reasons for doing the talk is take actions to prove to yourself that it's not so significant. So I'll give you an example. I learned this lesson very early. I was quite famous at law school for not being nervous about exams. I was quite famous at high school for not being nervous about exams. And I learned this technique very early. I don't even know how I learned it, but I did, and it helped me really, really, really. I used to just convince myself that the exam wasn't that important. And I'd prove it to myself by going to a movie the night before. So everyone else would stay up all night studying, because the world was going to end if they didn't do brilliantly on this exam. And I would say, oh, well, I'm pretty sure I'll do well. I think I know my stuff. But if I don't, it's not the last time I'm ever going to get to do an exam in my life. And I'm going to go to the movies to prove to myself how calm I am. And I honestly used to go to the movies. I was quite famous for going to the movies before my law exams and having a nice night and going to sleep quite early and waking up refreshed. And I would turn up to the exams quite happy, and everyone else would turn up exhausted because they'd stayed up all night frantically studying because they'd convinced themselves that it was the end of the world. And the irony was I did really well in my exams, much better than I should have given I hadn't spent the whole night studying. And it was because I used to turn up to the exams in a state of calmness, and my answers were being compared to people who were turning up in a state of nerves, almost vomiting, exhaustion. And so even though they may have actually known a little bit more because they stayed up all night and they crammed some more information into their head, I probably didn't know quite as much, but I was writing from such a calm place that I could think faster. I could write more clearly. So it didn't matter that I didn't probably know as much as I would have if I'd stayed up all night, because I was in a much better place to respond to the questions. And I don't even know where I learnt that. I just know that I observed over years everyone around me turning up to these exams in a state of stress, and thinking that when I started teaching this stuff to women speakers, I realized that it's not enough just to shift the significance of something. You actually have to take some sort of action to really show yourself that, to show your higher self that. So, you know, if you've got a big talk, what most people do is they'll take the opposite action. Most people will go and tell everyone, oh my God, I'm so nervous, I've got this big talk coming tomorrow. And then they'll say, I've got to set aside the whole day to prepare, and I better not take on any clients that day because I'm so nervous, I'm going to need to prepare. And they actually take actions that reinforce how big the thing is and how nervous they are. So by telling people, that's an action. By setting aside the whole day, that's an action. By cancelling all their clients, that's an action. So every action they're taking is reinforcing how big it is. Does that make sense? In contrast, you can take actions that show yourself, your higher self, your unconscious, that it's not so important. It's not such a big deal. Okay, you've got a talk coming up, but instead of calling everyone saying, oh my God, I'm so nervous about this talk, you can call people up and say, yeah, I've got this talk coming up. I don't really know how it's going to go. I hope it goes well. I'm kind of excited about it. I think it's going to be a great chance to practice what I've been learning about speaking. Just tell them that. That's your new action, telling them something different. Or instead of cancelling all your clients that day because you're so nervous you've got this big talk, keep your clients and just give yourself an hour beforehand to do your centering, your grounding, read over your notes, prepare so that your whole approach leading up to it is not one of, oh my God, this thing is so big, I have to make it perfect. Yeah, so that's very important, the taking actions to reinforce how important it is or how not important it is. Well, that's a really, really important piece of it. So I want you guys to start playing with that over the next few weeks, playing with the story that you're creating around any upcoming speaking opportunities. And it might just be that you have to have a conversation with your boyfriend this week about something and you're building it up into a big thing. Maybe you can take some actions to show yourself that's not quite so important. Maybe you can ask some of these questions. Would it be the end of the world if I don't say it exactly right? Is this the only chance I'm ever going to get to speak about this with him? Maybe I can just use it to practice being in my heart rather than it's all about the outcome. So I really want you guys to practice that with any upcoming speaking engagements. Another nice little mental technique that I learned from my Feldenkrais trainer happened during the Feldenkrais training. We had, some of you probably know, one of the things I do is I'm a Feldenkrais practitioner. And it's a 4-year training, and we learn all these powerful techniques of working with people's bodies, and it's all very safe and lovely. And then one day in the 3rd year, you have to do what's called a practicum, where members of the public come in, and you have to put your hands on them and work with them in front of the trainers who are watching you and checking that you're doing it okay. And it was really funny. These totally normal group of people who've been really happy and relaxed and confident for the last 3 years, I turned up because, you know, as I said, I'm pretty good with the exam thing, so I don't tend to get stressed. So I turned up because I've learned to get excited about exams because I see them as an opportunity to practice all the stuff I've been learning in theory. So I turned up really excited. I'm finally going to get to work with a member of the public and all the stuff I've been learning. Everyone else turned up with, oh, my God, this is so big. Oh, my God, what if I do it wrong? And I just watched what happened with everyone. They were like almost vomiting, some of them. They were so nervous. They were just terrified. Anyway, so my trainer, Alan, did a wonderful thing. He got everyone into a group sitting in front of him, and he's talking about the nerves and everyone, how everyone was feeling. And he said, I'm going to ask you all a question. What's the worst that could happen today? And everyone sort of looked at each other and thought, oh, well, I suppose I could muck it up. I could not look very good in front of my trainers. And he said, no, that's not the worst thing. What's the worst thing that could happen? We all looked at each other and we thought, I suppose we could injure someone if we don't do it properly and we're moving their bodies around, or maybe they've got a spinal fracture or something and we don't know and we injure them. He said, no, that's not the worst thing. What's the worst thing that could happen? Oh, the worst thing that could happen, I could, you know, be so bad at this that I get thrown out of the program. And he goes, no, that's not the worst thing that could happen. What's the worst thing that could happen? And someone put their hand up and said, well, I suppose that the person could die. And he said, yes, that's the worst thing that could happen. The person could die. He said, so if that doesn't happen, you know that it's probably gone okay. And it was just like he reframed it so well that we all just burst out laughing. And from then on, you know, people were a lot less nervous because they thought, really, you know, oh, okay, so what? I don't do it perfectly. So what? I don't, you know, I'm not perfect the very first time I work with someone. So what if my trainer doesn't think I'm an absolute superhero? You know, gosh, someone could die. That's really what's bad, what's the worst that could happen. And it's just kind of, it's a funny question, but it's actually quite powerful. So if you're about to speak on stage and you think, oh, what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is I could literally go blank and stand there for the whole hour and say nothing and everyone could just start laughing and they could walk out. Again, that's extremely unlikely that's going to happen. So compared to that, what actually happens is you'd give a pretty good talk and towards the end, you maybe forget one thing that you were going to say. And you come home, and in the past, you would have beaten yourself up about that. But now you go, well, actually, you know what? That was pretty good. It was a couple of tiny flaws. But compared to what could have happened, it went pretty well. And it's like it just changes your perspective. You give yourself permission for things not to be perfect. Once you start to acknowledge, well, really, what's the worst that can happen? That's extremely unlikely. So that's just another technique you can use. You know, what is the worst that could happen here? And it's extremely unlikely that it is going to happen. So anything else that does happen, you can probably handle. And it's probably not going to be that big a deal. So I just wanted to share with you a whole bunch of those mental techniques. And I guess the final one that's just coming to me now, but I don't think I have taught this one before, but the final one is that post-talk debrief that we give ourselves. We can tend to beat ourselves up after we talk, hold ourselves to this standard of perfection, you know. And if instead we come off and we go, well, okay, so it wasn't perfect, but what was good about it? What did I do well? How did it feel good? You know, and focus on that. Well, yeah, I guess I forgot that last point at the end and I seemed to lose the audience about halfway through there for about 10 minutes. But the rest of the 90 minutes, I think I had them in the palm of my hand. They seemed to be really engaged. I was on to it. I was really focused on my material. I felt like I was in my heart. I felt comfortable. My body felt free and fluid. I felt centered. You know, for 90 whole minutes. Yeah, there were 10 minutes in the middle where I got a bit in my head and I got nervous and I lost them. But, you know, 90 minutes of that was amazing, and I've never done that before. And I've never spoken with so much level of centeredness and heart-centeredness before. Now, if you give yourself that debrief afterwards, your levels of trust are going to go up. They're going to skyrocket. They're going to go up and up. And the next time you speak, you're going to be so much more confident. Whereas if you take the beating yourself up approach afterwards and go, oh, yeah, okay, 90 minutes of it was all right, but for 10 whole minutes, I was nervous, my palms were shaking, I lost them. God, I can't do this. Who am I kidding? I'm pretending I'm a speaker. I'm not a speaker. I lost them for 10 whole minutes. Can you hear how different it is? It's the exact same event looked at from a totally different perspective. And I'm telling you now, if you take the first perspective of focusing on what did go well, you minimize the tiny bit that went badly, because the reality is it's usually just the tiniest bit that goes badly, it's going to increase your confidence to want to do it again, and your levels of trust are going to go up. I had a friend do a telecall the other day, and she rang me afterwards and asked me to listen to it. And I listened to it, and I thought it was brilliant. And I rang her up, and I was like, my God, that was fantastic. I can't believe you've never done one before. And she said, no, it wasn't. It was terrible. And I was like, what do you mean it was really good? Because I was listening to it objectively. She said, I kept saying, And I was like, I don't even remember her saying, maybe she said, But, you know, people don't notice things like that. They just, the audience does not care about that. But she'd built this whole thing into such significance that she ruined it by saying, She probably said, like three times in a whole hour. And that's what she was choosing to focus on, rather than all the amazing content she shared and how heart-centered she was and how passionate, how inspiring she was. So it's really about where we choose to put our focus. If you choose to put your focus on the 10 minutes, then you're going to create a distrust in yourself, and you're probably not going to want to do it again, and the next time you're going to be more nervous. If you focus on the 90 minutes, the 90% that went well, your confidence levels are going to go up, and you're probably going to want to do it again. So I just wanted to share that one, and I'm actually going to make a quick note of that because I don't think I've taught that before, where you debrief after you speak. That's very powerful. Okay, so I've done a lot of talking now about the mental techniques. We're going to go on now to some physical techniques, grounding and centering and some energy techniques. But before we do, I just want to check in with you guys and take a couple of shares, because I've talked about lots of stuff in the last 20-30 minutes, and I've covered a lot of ground. I've given you a lot of steps, a lot of possibilities, a lot of approaches, a lot of material. Just wanted to hear how that's landing with you, if any of that resonates with you, if it makes sense, if you have any questions, if it triggers anything for you. So I'm going to invite two or three people to share. So just tune in for a moment. Is there something you want to say about any of that stuff about nerves and significance and what's the worst that can happen and minimizing the importance and putting that into action and debriefing with yourself differently? And just notice, if anything's coming up, it's probably going to be useful for everyone else. Even if all you want to say is, yeah, that makes sense, that's helpful, thanks, or I don't really get that. Okay, so I'm going to start with Heidi. Go ahead, Heidi.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi there. The information you're talking about is all really, really good, and I want to ask a question which
you
haven't covered. When I get nervous, I tend to talk too much, and I have so much to say. It seems like an endless well of stuff to say, and at some point I become aware of the fact that I may be losing the people that I'm talking to, because I'm talking about so many very deep matters, and you know, the content is so rich, and it's taken me 30 years of study to come to the conclusions I've come to, and I'm not giving the people I'm speaking to enough time to process before I start piling on more and more. And
yeah,
I know I can feel that I'm doing that, but I don't know how to stop it. It feels like a train wreck, and it's just out of control. So why don't you address that?
Yes.
That'd be really useful.
Yes. Yes, well, by the end of this course, that won't be happening, because one of the reasons that that happens is you've already identified it in your opening part of the question, was you said that it happens when you get nervous. So what that means is it's happening, these kinds of issues of disconnecting from our audience, whether it's we get too passionate or we talk too fast or we give too much information or we become incomprehensible or we start talking about stuff they're not interested in, it can happen in lots of different ways. It tends to happen when we're in our head. So when we're in a state of nerves, we usually are in our head. So what's going to happen is over the next few weeks as we practice feeling the difference between speaking from the heart, speaking from the head, and then we're going to do some processes on just tuning into what needs to come out in this moment for this particular audience in this particular situation, you'll find that even though you have a million things you could say because you have this huge wealth of knowledge and experience, the only things that will come out are the things that need to come out for this particular audience. So it's a very different way of speaking. And we can only do that once we've learned what we're going to learn over the next few weeks about how to really come to that speaking in the moment from the heart, from a higher place. So when I teach, I have a million, billion possible things I could say because I know so much about this stuff. And I have learned that I really noticed in the last course because I had two groups, Group A and Group B, that were on different dates, different time zones. And I would often teach completely different things to both groups. Oh, there was some common ground, but because I've learned to speak what needs to come up in the moment, and I've let go of the need to, I have to tell them everything, I have to tell them exactly what I told the other group because it's such good material and God, there's so much I could help them with, and really get to a place of trust that the things that choose to come out of my mouth with that group are happening because that group needs to hear them. In that particular time, that's what they're ready to hear, that's what they're ready to shift on. And you will get to that place, I guarantee, if you do this course, and particularly if you do the coaching afterwards where we really go into that, you will get to the place where you'll be able to let go of needing to tell them everything and wanting them to know as much as possible, which is a natural human need. And you'll start to tune into more what is needed by them in this moment for their highest good, and then all that other stuff will fall away because obviously you have so much you can draw on, and I'm sure that that's the case for everyone. And the key to it all is what you said at the start, that it only happens when you're nervous. And it's because when we're nervous, we're in our head and we're disconnected from what needs to come out in this particular moment for this particular audience. So I guarantee we will be playing more and more with that, particularly from next week where we start doing processes on speaking from the heart. So I'm really grateful to Heidi for bringing that up. Does that help a little bit just to know that we're going to be looking at that?
Yes, thanks.
Excellent. Well, I'm really grateful to Heidi for bringing that up because that is a huge issue, particularly for people like Heidi who just have a wealth of knowledge and can feel just totally overwhelmed with how much stuff they could help people with. And I know that a lot of you are in that situation, your coaches, you have a huge amount that you could share, and it's really about tuning into what needs to be shared in this particular moment. And in actual fact, the exercise we're going to do later on today about intention is a big part of that. It will take away a lot of the feeling of too much information coming out. So thanks, that's a brilliant point to bring up. I really appreciate that. I'm going to pass to one more person, Beth. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, Tony. My comment is sort of similar to Heidi's in a way that one of the things I was thinking while you were talking about that was my habit in the past with writing was that I would just collect everything from all the past things I've written and all the little bits and do this enormous preparation before I'd start selecting out what I wanted to use for the current piece. And I realised that from what you were saying, that this is like, it's telling myself again that this is my only chance to say this stuff, that this is really, you know, that, and also telling myself that my best writing was in the past, that I can't, you know, come up with something new. And I was thinking from that, it's like the feedback loop between the story we tell ourselves and the actions we take, and that you have to kind of interrupt that at the time. So I thought that was, thank you for that, it was great.
Great, and that's a really brilliant point, and we are going to be talking a lot about this over the next few weeks because I know I tend to say it a lot, but when we spend, because there's a whole section in this course where we look at planning versus not planning, and when we get into that, I'll be talking about this a lot, but I'll just say a brief thing about it now. When we're planning or when we're trying to structure things because we've done it that way in the past, trying to remember this great talk I did last year, I want to go back to what I did then and draw out all the bits that worked really well then. You know, it's really tempting to do that, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, but what it does is it means we're robbing ourselves of the opportunity of speaking from our present level of wisdom. And usually in that 6 months or that 12 months or that 2 weeks, something has happened in our life that shifted us in our own learning. So if we're always trying to grapple with remembering what that great thing was we said last time we spoke, or last time we wrote a paper, or last time we gave a telecall, or last time we spoke to our sister, and trying to recreate that, we're living in the past, we're actually missing out on speaking from the new place, and everyone, without exception on the planet, has learnt more the next time they speak, because you can't be in this world and not be learning. So when you start to trust that, actually, if I speak from where I'm at now, even though I've taught this course before, it would be so tempting to go back and redo everything I've done before. And it's helpful to have a few notes there to remind you of possible things that you spoke about last time, and maybe you pull out some of your old papers because it gives you some ideas. But to also say, okay, what's here now? I've written down a few things today that I didn't think I've spoken about before, just because I thought, wow, they've come out with this particular audience. Maybe they weren't priorities last time, or maybe I didn't know them then. And so that's a really important point. And when we do the week where we're looking at planning, we're really going to play with that about how limiting it is when we trap ourselves in the past by using previous scripts and previous notes that we've done from previous talks. So that's a really powerful point. So thank you so much, Beth. So now what I want to do is talk about, we've done a bit of the mental techniques for nerves. Now I want to talk about the physical ones because these are really powerful. So there are plenty of techniques for grounding and centering ourselves, and I'm sure that all of you have some that you've used, and I really want to encourage you to revive those, to start playing with them again, particularly over the next week, because really your main homework for week two is to play with the mental reframing stuff about how significant this talk is and all that sort of stuff, and also to play with the centering and grounding techniques we're going to learn today. So there are lots of different ways we can center ourselves and ground ourselves, and I know that you guys already know lots of them because you're all pretty heart-centered and doing a lot of spiritual practices, but I'm still going to run over them. There are techniques that can go from 10 seconds or 3 seconds all the way up to 10 or 20 or 30 minutes, and as you start to play with these over the next few weeks, you'll start to find that there are situations where a 10-second centering technique is really useful. And then there are situations where you might need to go deeper and do a 10-minute centering process. And it really will depend on your emotional state at the time. How far away are you from neutral? If you're feeling pretty centered, you're about to go speak to your friend or get on stage, then you might only need a short technique just to drop you into your body, drop you into your heart, connect yourself and start speaking. If you're frazzled because you've been running late or you've just had a fight with someone and you're in a terrible emotional state, then you're probably going to need a deeper process. So that's why it's really good to have lots of different possibilities in your toolkit for centering yourself. And so I'm just going to run through some. We're going to be playing with lots of them over the next few weeks. I'm going to be asking you to play with them in your spare time. The simplest one of all, that is the quickest, is simply to close your eyes for a moment. Something about just closing our eyes, removing the stimulus of the external world, going internal, can often just quieten things down. I notice it in my Feldenkrais classes. As soon as I say close your eyes, people start to become aware of their body, their breathing. You can't help it because you're suddenly forced to go inwards when you close your eyes. So something as simple as closing your eyes. And then the next simplest thing that is so overlooked but is so helpful is just to take a breath. Close your eyes and take a breath. Take a nice deep breath. And exhale and just let everything fall away that you were worrying about or thinking about or doing before that moment. And that simple technique of taking a breath, close your eyes and take a breath, is the most powerful thing you can do to center yourself. Now we are going to go into some much more deeper processes that go longer, but that one in itself, if you did nothing else but in the next week, every now and then just stop, close your eyes, take a breath, deep breath, focus on your breath, let it go, let everything fall off, like as if you're standing under the shower and it's all just getting washed off you. That is incredibly powerful. I often say to people, before you go into the restaurant for the dinner, just take a moment, sit in the car, close your eyes, take a breath, center yourself, and then go in. And the whole conversation will go differently. I'm just going to make a note about that thing I just said about the visualization of the shower, because I might actually do something with that with you guys. It's quite an interesting thing to come out of my mouth. maybe we'll do that another day. So there's other simple things you can do that only take a minute or two. And I really want to emphasize that the simple stuff is the stuff that people tend to forget. You know, we all know that if you just pause, close your eyes and take a breath, it's going to change everything. But we just forget that. Another simple one is to just go for a walk. You know, if you're about to go on stage or you're about to go have a difficult conversation, just go for a walk around the block. Get your body moving. Free yourself up. Take some big breaths. Breathe the fresh air. You know, just simple things. Go for a walk around the block. I'll often do that before I'm about to speak. Just go for a little walk. It just frees everything up, calms me down, centers me. Another thing that some people like to do that's very simple is just to sit under a tree. And just feel yourself being energized by the tree. Feel yourself being energized by the grass underneath you. Just tune in for a moment to nature. You only have to do it for 3 or 4 minutes. It will have the effect of completely calming you down. I remember being at a festival a few years ago, a big festival called Confest, and there was all this stuff happening, and I was quite stressed because my ex-boyfriend was there, and my spiritual teacher was there, and he said, go and sit under that tree, and feel the energy of the tree coming into your body and energizing you. And I thought, oh, that's a bit silly, isn't it? But I went and did it, and I totally could imagine the tree was sending me all this love and nutrients, and I could see all this light coming out of the branches down into me, and I just felt completely calm by the end, calm, grounded, energized. So that's a lovely one to do. It's a lovely one to do, and that might take a couple more minutes. Another really simple one is just take a sip of water. Pause. I'm about to go on stage. I'm just going to close my eyes. Take a deep breath. Have a sip of water. Focus on the water as it's going into my mouth. Enjoy it for that moment and then walk on stage. These simple things, they're like pattern interrupt. They interrupt the thoughts going round and round your brain. They're closing the eyes, they're taking a deep breath, taking a sip of water. Some people, and this is something that I tend to do before I have a big thing on that I'm going to speak in front of an audience or something, is to close your eyes and connect to your spirit guides, if you have any spirit guides you work with, or to God or to Source. Or if you don't believe in any of that, just take a moment to close your eyes and connect to your own higher self, which we are going to be playing with later on in the program. But if you're already doing that, you already know how to do that, then that's a great one to do. Some people just who are religious, they close their eyes, they send up a prayer. It's the same thing. Sending up a prayer or just taking a moment, check in with them, whoever it is that you work with. Hey guys, just want to check you're there. I'm about to go on stage. Just want to check you with me. Thanks. And then you walk on stage. You know, that in itself can calm you down and center you and give you, it's like it gives you an extra level of strength to know that you're being watched over, whether it's by spirit guides or God or Source or your own higher self or collective consciousness on the planet or whatever it is you choose to focus on, just gives you like an extra level of power and protection and you just got some extra troops on board with you as you go out. So that's a powerful one, and that can be as simple as closing your eyes and just tuning in. Another really, really simple one, I'm just sharing with you all the simple ones first and then we're going to do some deeper ones. Another really simple one to do is just to connect to something, connect to beauty. So just look at a flower, look up at the sky, go over to your cat and pat him. I'm going to do that right now. My cat's asleep, all curled up right next to me. I'm just going to go and pat him. And in that moment where you're patting your cat, you cannot be thinking about how nervous you are, because you just can't think about that while you're patting this gorgeous creature. All your attention is going to be on touching them with love so that you're not hurting them, using your hand gently, feeling how soft their fur is, feeling their little face under your hand, and everything else will fall away. So if you have an animal, that's a great strategy. Pat your cat, play with your dog just for a few seconds and you will be fully present. It's impossible to pat an animal and not be present. So they're just really simple ones that I've played with over the years and that I help people with. And they might sound silly, but they are so powerful. If you're about to go on stage or about to take an important phone call, I know someone in this course is doing a telecall or something later in the week, and all you did differently was before you spoke, you closed your eyes, you took a breath, take a slow sip of water, maybe look at something beautiful in your house or pat your cat, close your eyes, say a prayer, or connect to your spirit guides. You will feel so differently when you speak on that call, even if you don't do any of the other stuff I teach you today. So I want you guys to start practicing these really simple ones and find out which ones work for you, because some of them will work better than others. For some people, you know, sitting under a tree will be the most effective, quickest way. For some people, connecting with beauty. For some people, walking, moving their body. It'll be different for everyone. So now I want to take us into some deeper processes that you can do, because there are going to be times where you're going to need more than that, or maybe you're going to have a little bit more time available, and so you think, I'm going to really, really shift my state now, so that when I go on stage or when I go into that dining table with my family that I have to talk to, I'm going to be in a very deep state of calm and centeredness. So I'm going to teach you two different processes. One is a very calming one, and one is a very energizing one. And you can choose when to use which. So if you're already, you know, pretty calm and you do the calming one, you're going to end up really calm. You might not even have the, you know, you might not really be in a space to stand up and talk. But if you're feeling really, really frazzled and you do the calming one, it will bring you back to neutral. And there might be other days where you're feeling a bit low energy and you've got to get on stage or you have to talk to someone, and so you'll do the energizing technique. So you're just going to play with when you want to use which one. You're going to adapt them for yourself. Everything that I teach you is totally made up from my own experience. You'll probably take them and run with them and modify them and totally change the imagery and find ways that work for you. But I'm just giving you a new way of thinking about it. So we're going to start with the calming one. So I'm going to ask you to start by sitting, putting your pens and papers down. And the first step is just to close your eyes. And now just take a deep breath in. Breathing in and exhaling, letting everything just fall away. And then we'll do that again. Breathing in and letting everything wash off you like water just washing off your body. And then we'll do that again, breathing in and letting everything just wash off you as you breathe out. Now that in itself is a powerful process to do, to center yourself before you're going to speak. And if you only have a minute, then you could just do that. But now, because we have a bit of time, we're going to go a little bit further. So start by noticing your breath, whatever comes to your attention about your breath. And everyone's probably paying attention to different things. I'm now going to direct your attention a little bit. So start by noticing, are you breathing in through your mouth or through your nose? Are you breathing out through your mouth or through your nose? And there's no right or wrong, just notice what you're doing. Notice the speed at which you're breathing. And now start to notice the feeling of the air as it comes in through your nostrils or through your mouth, and it comes up through the back of your mouth, the back of your throat. What temperature is that air? How does it feel as it travels through your mouth, your throat? Does it feel soft? Does it feel rough? How does the passage of the air feel as it moves in and out? Can you track the air as it comes in through your nose or your mouth, goes back to the back of your mouth, your palate, the back of your throat, down your throat, into your lungs? Can you track that? And it's okay if you can't, just notice which parts of it you can track. And can you track the path of the air back out again? And now start to notice, are you breathing more with your belly or with your chest? Do you feel your belly moving in and out, or do you feel your chest puffing out and in? Which is more involved? And start to notice the direction that you're breathing in. So do you feel like you tend to breathe forwards, like the front part of your belly and chest is involved? Or do you tend to breathe out to the sides, which is how opera singers breathe? Or do you tend to breathe into the back of your body? You might be noticing that the chatter in your mind is starting to quieten down as you're just observing these things. And now start to notice the length of your in-breath and the length of your out-breath. Which is longer? And now notice in between the in-breath and the out-breath, is there a little pause? Is there any kind of pause in between the in-breath and the out-breath? For some people it might be a very small pause, for some people it might be a very long pause. And is there any pause at the other end between the out-breath and the in-breath? And which of these two pauses is longer? And notice if just by asking the question which of these pauses is longer, if they start to change their length. And now just going back to noticing the size of the breath. How deeply are you breathing now after observing these different parts of the breath? Notice, does it feel easy or do you feel like you're pushing? And then just finishing by coming back to observing the flow of air as it comes in your mouth or your nostrils, comes through the back of your throat and down to your lungs, noticing how the air feels, how cold or hot it feels, the sensations, physical sensations as it moves through your windpipe, and then noticing the air as it comes back out. And then let that fall away. And just let your breath do whatever it does. And just start to coming back to sitting on your seat, noticing your feet on the ground, noticing the weight of your bottom on the chair where your arms are resting, the angle of your head. And take a nice deep breath in and exhale. And then whenever you're ready, just slowly open your eyes. And just start to slowly come back into the world. I know that doing this process can take you into a very calm, quiet space. For some people, for others it's different. What's really nice about that exercise is you can do it as long or as short as you want. It's simple of just noticing the flow of air through your nostrils down the back of your throat. Or you can start to notice which parts of your body you're breathing, which direction you're breathing in, the speed of the breathing, the depth of the breathing, the size, the ease, the four parts of the breathing, the inhale, the exhale, the two pauses. There's many, many things you can choose to focus on. And you may sometimes just pick one of those things to focus on. I've put all of them in now so you could experience it. Or if you're really wanting to go deep, you can pick three or four of them, or even go through the whole process, take as long as you want. And really, you can see that when you do this, your thinking mind stops. It just, there's no room for your thinking mind. You can't be going, oh my God, I've been worried and worried about this, and I've got to do this, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm analyzing, worried and nervous about this, because you're paying attention to your belly and your ribs, or you're paying attention to the air coming through your nostrils. And it's very hard to pay attention to two things at once. So you're giving your thinking mind a rest, and you're switching into your observing mind. And we all know this from meditation, but sometimes it can be hard to quieten the mind just by meditating, whereas these physical techniques can calm your mind very, very quickly. And when we're about to go on stage, we want to find a way to get our thinking mind switched off. Switch off the thinking mind and move into the observing mind. So people think that I'm asking them to only use their heart and not use their mind. I'm not. The mind is a powerful tool, and you cannot be a powerful speaker if you don't use your mind. But you need to use your observing mind. When we're in our observing mind, we could be standing up and speaking to 1,000 people, and instead of our brain's energy being wasted on, oh my God, they don't like me, and I said that wrong, and what am I supposed to say next, and how did I say it last time, and I don't think I wore the right outfit, and I look fat, and I'm not standing properly, and I just did that bit wrong. Instead of all of that, we can just be sharing from our heart and using our observing mind to notice the audience. Gee, they seem to be very engaged. Okay, their energy seems to be falling away here, so I'm just going to bring a bit more energy to this part of the room. Yep, they seem to be getting that. Nice. I might just tune into this and put a bit more passion in because it feels like, you know, so you're in an observer state. There's no judgment. You're just noticing what's happening and you're shifting yourself to play with the flows of energy. We can't do that if we're in our thinking head because we can't do both. We can't think and observe. Unless we're super, super multitasker, brilliant genius. But most people tend to do one or the other. So these meditative practices can really train your mind to flip out of the thinking mode into the observing mode. So that process we did now was a very calming one. So you're probably, many of you, feeling very calm now. I'm now going to teach you a different one. Now in the real world, you wouldn't do all these techniques one after the other. I'm just, because today is all about teaching you the techniques, that we're going through lots of them. And I want to give you an actual felt experience of them, so that it's not just a concept you've written down, but you've actually done it. It's in your nervous system, and you will remember it when you need to. You know, you'll be about to go into a friend's party, and you're going to have a conversation there, and you're nervous about it. You will be able to sit in the car and just track your breathing, because you've done it now. You'll remember it. It's not hard stuff to remember. So now we're going to do a more energizing one. So I'm going to get you to come up to standing. Again, you can have your eyes closed. If you need to have your eyes open for balance, then have them open, but otherwise have them closed. And just start by sensing, how tall do you feel? How short do you feel? How heavy do you feel? How light do you feel? Where is the weight on your 2 feet? Standing more on 1 foot, more on the other. And now what I want you to do is imagine that you are a tall, strong tree, and that your 2 legs are these 2 big, strong tree trunks. So the top of your body is like the branches, the leaves, and your legs are these 2 strong tree trunks. And I want you to imagine that your tree trunks have these roots that go down into the earth. And I want you to send your awareness down along the roots, down and wide. So they go deep down into the earth and they go wide out as well. So you're sending your awareness down through your tree trunk legs into the earth, feeling the moisture, the nourishment, the love, sending your awareness down. And some of you might notice that as you send your awareness down through into the roots of this tree, you're actually getting taller. The rest of you is getting taller as you send your awareness down into the roots. And if that's not truthful for you, that's okay, but some of you might be noticing that. And now as you send your awareness down into the earth, the rich, moist earth, sending your awareness down these roots, I want you to start to draw some of the love, the nutrition, the richness of Mother Earth up through your roots and up into your tree trunk feet. So you're drawing the energy, the love, the nourishment, the nurturing, the wisdom of the earth up through your roots, into your tree trunk feet, up through your tree trunk legs, up through your pelvis, your base chakra, up through your will center, up through your creative center, your will center, up through your torso, and bring that energy up into your heart. So drawing the energy from the earth up through your tree trunk legs and into your heart. And then just sit with that for a moment. Feel what it feels like to have this nourishing, warm, rich earth energy in your heart space. You might feel it pulsating or radiating or warming your whole body. And now take that energy and send it up through the top part of your tree trunk. You may even want to take your arms slowly up. As the energy goes up through the top of your chest, this loving, rich earth energy goes up through your throat, up through your face, your crown chakra, and up out the top of the branches, the leaves, all the way up. And you're sending that energy up to the sky, the stars, the sun, the spirit world, to God, if that's what you believe in. Sending it up, and you can take your arms up if you want, or you can just do it in your imagination, whatever feels better. Sending that energy up. And now start to draw down through the tops of your branches, the tops of your leaves, this really high light, high vibration frequency energy from the spirit world, from the stars, from the sun, from the planets, from the sky. Very high, light, joyful, sparkling, energizing, insightful spiritual energy. Start drawing it down through your branches, through your leaves. You can use your hands to help you if you like. Through your crown chakra, down through your face, through your throat chakra, down top of your shoulders, and down into your heart. Just feel it settle in. Maybe it's buzzing around your heart, this very light, high-frequency energy. Just breathe into that for a moment. Breathing that in. And you may want to do this on the exhale. As you breathe out, you could even use your hands to send that energy down, down, down through your torso, through your base, down your two tree trunk legs, sending this sparkling energy down through the roots of your tree trunk all the way down into the heart of Mother Earth. And then as you breathe in, drawing the nourishing, nurturing earth energy, wise, calming energy all the way up into your heart. And then just sit there for a breath, feeling this energy, nourishing energy in your heart. Breath in and a breath out. And a breath in. And then as you breathe out, send the energy up, the earth energy up, all the way up through the top of your head, the top of your trees, your branches, your leaves, out to the sun, the sky, the stars. And then as you inhale, draw the sparkling high-frequency energy from the sun, the stars, the planets, spirit world, back down into your heart. And then sit there for a breath. Let it sit there in your center of your heart. And then when you're ready to breathe out again, send the energy down, 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 through your tree trunk, legs down into the heart of the earth. And then breathe in for the final time. Draw the earth energy up into your heart and feel your fullness with both of these energies. And then let your arms rest. Let yourself rest. And just let that fall away. It is nice to finish with the earth energy so you feel very grounded at the end. And just take a moment to sense how you feel now in standing. Notice how tall you feel now, taller or shorter. Notice how heavy you feel now. Do you feel heavy or light? Notice your sense of self. Do you feel more powerful or less powerful? Do you feel more awake, energized, or calmer somehow? Lots of possibilities. And sense the weight on your feet now. You have a different relationship with the ground. And then just come back to sitting somewhere comfortably, like you have been. Have your pen and paper again with you. So that process is really, really powerful. Now for some people, it's going to be enough to simply do the process where you stand, sense your feet on the ground, and sense you've got these two tree trunk legs, and just send the roots down into the earth. And don't even do the energy stuff. Just, I'm standing, I'm a tree, I've got these powerful tree legs, I'm sending the roots into the earth, I'm connected to the earth, I'm grounded. That can take 10 seconds to do, and it's a very, very good technique to use before you go on to speak or any situation in life where you're nervous or you want to ground yourself. You stand there, I am a tree, my branches reach to the sky, my legs go down into the earth, I have these roots that go down into the earth, and you just feel very grounded and solid. It's very fast and very powerful. If you're wanting to energize yourself, then you can do the second half, which is to start to draw the energy up from the earth, send it up to the sky, draw the energy down from the sky, send it down to the earth and back. And always finish with the earth energy because it's the most grounding, especially if you're going to be speaking. But some of you might find it's better for you to finish with the sky energy. So really, it's up to you. So you can play with all these techniques, just do part of them or all of them. There's no right or wrong. What I have learned through all my Feldenkrais training, where I do a million different versions of these things every day with people in my practice, I can create any kind of body scan you can imagine with any single part of the body. And, you know, it really just depends on the person, their needs in the moment. And you start to learn to listen to yourself. And you start to know, I just need to do that tree thing. That tree thing will sort me out. You stand there, you do the tree thing. Or you might go, you know what, I feel like I need to go for a walk around the block. I feel like I need to pet my cat for a few minutes. I feel like I need to sit down and just eat something to get some energy into my system. I feel like I need to roll around on the floor and free up my body. I feel like, and we're going to do that in week three, I feel like I need to connect to my breath and get into a really calm space. So there's so many possibilities. And what I want you to do is start playing with them. Start playing with them and seeing the effects that the different ones have on you. And then you'll start to have your own repertoire that you're building up. So I was going to go into all the intention stuff today, but it really is a new topic, and I'm feeling very strongly that I want to start that with you next week as a fresh topic because it's very powerful, and I think that really want to spend today focusing on the nerves and the centering because it's so powerful, and it's really, really absolutely crucial to everything else. Before I even set my intention, I always center myself. For me, the very first thing I do is free up my body and center myself. We'll be looking at freeing up your body next week as well. So I just want to start by seeing how that was for you. If any of those centering techniques were new for you, or if there were any that I talked about that are old favorites that you'd love to share, or maybe you have some other ones that we can add into the mix of our repertoire that I haven't talked about. I mean, there's so many possibilities. I'd love to hear some of your favorites. And also want to hear how those two different processes were for you, the breathing one and the tree one. So we've got time to take 4 or 5 shares. So I'm going to call on lots of you. So start pressing 1 and I will pass you the mic. I'm assuming you all have your eyes open and are awake after all that powerful stuff we did. I'm just going to wait because it takes a bit of time for the numbers to come up for some reason at the moment. And just remember that whatever's coming to you is probably going to be helpful for someone else. You may have a particular centering technique that you really love, or something I shared you think, wow, I would like to try that, that's helpful. Or maybe you had an interesting experience with the tree exercise or the breathing. So it might sometimes take a minute to want to come back out into the external world, but we need to start to practice that because you're doing these techniques so that you can speak. So you need to be able to go, okay, I'm centered and now I'm going to speak. So I'm going to start with Alison. And that's part of it. You'll start to find that there are some techniques that take you too internal and you can't then speak. So you may want to finish with an energizing one like a walk or a sip of water or the tree or something more energizing to bring you back into the world. Okay, I'm going to start with Alison. Go ahead, Alison, you have the mic.
I hope. I enjoyed the energizing one especially. I have one that I use that I find really beneficial, but it only works if you're outside and if the sun's out. I like to stand in the sunshine and close my eyes, raise my head to the sky and just soak it all in, and that seems to work really well for me. But
beautiful.
You need to be outside.
But you might find that you can imagine that you're standing in the sun. Because I've often used techniques with the sun, and you can stand inside and just imagine that you're standing in the sun. Imagine the warmth of the sun. Imagine the feeling of the sun. Imagine the rays. Imagine everything and feel it. You might find that that's also quite powerful. If you happen to resonate strongly with the sun, you might find that that's helpful. But that's a beautiful one. Thank you for sharing that. That's gorgeous. I'm going to just wait and see if anyone else puts their hand up, because I'm sure that you guys have all got some things to share. Remembering that one of the agreements with neighbors that we wouldn't hold back with sharing, because you'll find that just like that beautiful gem Alison shared, there'll be something you can share that's of benefit, even if it's just asking me a question, because usually something will come out of my mouth. Usually, okay, I'm going to pass to you, Lyndon. Go ahead.
I actually found, I love the tree one, but I actually found that the breathing one, I got really bored. I just found it really quite tedious. So, yeah, I just wanted to give that feedback that that's how it affected me. It just sort of just seemed to go on and on and on, whereas I guess Yeah, the tree one was very, I found very energizing, and I guess could just imagine it more.
That's great, and I'm so glad you shared that, because we want this to be a space where you can share positive, negative, questions, everything you want. So I'm really glad Lyndon shared that. There will be some techniques that just don't suit you. That technique is very subtle. It requires a lot of body awareness. It's very subtle. It can drive some people crazy to have to pay attention to their bodies in such subtle detail. I see it in my Feldenkrais practice all the time. And then other people just love it. They feel a relief that they finally have a space to go really deep with their subtle awareness of their body. So everybody's different, and that's why I'm giving you two very, very different processes. Some of them you might just, for someone like Lyndon who found it tedious, all you might want to do is take a big breath and let it go. And that will be enough to get you focused on your breath, and that works for you. Someone else might have a bit more time, might love those sort of subtle exercises, might want to do it. So it's really about you trying stuff and noticing, is this too much detail for my brain? Or do I need that level of detail to relax? Or do I just do something quick and simple? You know? And so everyone's going to be different. So I'm really, really glad Lyndon's brought that up, because that's going to be the reaction for some people. That's a very advanced subtle body awareness one. In our Feldenkrais training, they didn't do anything that subtle with us straight away, but I've thrown it in there just to give you a sense of what's possible. And Lyndon, one day you might wake up and be really, really stressed and go, bugger it, that really boring breath thing might really help me right now, and it might be the perfect thing for you to settle you down. Whereas at the moment, because you're already pretty calm, it's very tedious. So just keep it all in your toolkit, because you never know what's going to be helpful when. I'm going to pass it to Jacqueline now. Go ahead.
Thanks, Tani. I enjoyed both of those exercises, especially the tree one. And what I'm realising from today's call is I actually started out being quite distracted and finding it hard to concentrate and be with the call. And then after we did those two exercises, I realised how much I'm actually in my head most of the time. And when we first stood up to do that tree exercise and you told us to focus on where the weight was on our feet, I noticed how much more weight there was on my left side. And I started to think, well, has that got something to do with the pain in my right hip that I've had for probably a couple of years now? And I'm just finding it really interesting what a difference it makes to actually be in your body and aware of what your body's doing.
Oh, gosh, I could talk for 3 hours on that one. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's like the major piece of learning I had in my life. So I'm really glad Jacqueline brought that up, because, you know, many of you know I used to be crippled with chronic pain. I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit for many years. And I had to go through a process of relearning how to move and becoming deeply aware of my body. And I did that through the Feldenkrais method, which is all about becoming aware of our patterns of movement. And just that little light bulb moment you had there, Jacqueline, is absolutely the key to your hip pain. So if you could find yourself a Feldenkrais practitioner and go and do some one-on-one sessions, they'll help you start to be more in your body, pay attention to your body, and all the pains and aches and everything's going to completely change, because you'll start moving differently and using yourself differently. Most of us tend to live in our heads and we're completely disconnected from what's happening in our body, and it makes a huge difference once we start to have some awareness. We're going to be doing some actual body techniques in week 3. I'm going to be giving you a piece of homework, which is an audio track that goes for about 45 minutes, where you'll be doing lots of different movements and paying attention to your body as you do the movements. And at the end, your posture will be completely different, and you'll speak with a completely different voice, and everything will feel different. And it all comes because you're paying attention while you're doing it. So what Jacqueline just shared is the absolute first key to any transformation is becoming aware. So most of us, most people in this world live in their head. I mean, I lived in my head completely for most of my life. I wasn't in my heart. I certainly wasn't in my body. And it's been a long process of first learning to be in my body for me, then I learned to be in my heart. That was the order I did it. Everyone does it in different orders. Then I started to learn to sense energy. So it's a powerful thing you just realized, Jacqueline. I'm really, really glad you shared it. It's going to make week 3 of this course extra powerful for you as well, and it's a huge point. And yes, you will find that the more you start to get out of your head and into your heart, you will be less distracted when you're listening to people teaching you, when you're listening to your friends talk, when you're listening to TV, because you'll be able to pay attention more. So that's brilliant. I'm going to pass to Heather now. Go ahead, Heather.
Oh, hello.
As most of you know, I've got Finn, my 10-month-old, with me on this course, and I kind of had an epiphany moment during those meditations. Be lucky because I've got him with me to kind of practice being in my head and in my heart, because I have to kind of, you know, keep a watch out of the corner of my eye and see what's going on and see what he wants. And so I found when I did the breathing exercise, I was so much more in tune with him. It was unbelievable. I could read what he wanted, and he's developing like his speech at the moment, and it was really interesting to see how he communicates with me through his speech. He just come over now. So it was just wonderful, and I learned a lot. I learned so much from both of those exercises. So thank you.
Excited to hear that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's seriously, because as we start to, particularly in those subtle exercises where you're focusing on the subtlety of the body, the subtlety of the breath, you start to develop an acuity in your sensing. So you start to be able to develop the ability to sense the most subtle things, and it translates into sensing energy. And so one of the reasons why it is helpful to sometimes, even if we find them a bit tedious or boring, to sometimes do those really subtle exercises is you'll start to be able to sense energy around you. So that obviously will help with sensing your audience, the flow of energy from your audience, how they're responding to you as a speaker, but also your friends, your family, and particularly children. I have a friend who's just had a baby, and her journey has been coming out of her head and getting into her heart. And I was with her, watching her with her baby, and she now uses her baby as the monitor of whether she's in her heart or not. She says to me, the second she goes into fear, her baby starts crying. So the second the baby cries, she knows she's gone out of her heart because the baby picks it up. And it's like a feedback device. So I think it's wonderful that Heather has a little feedback device there with her to let her know this. And as she starts to get more subtle in her ability to sense her body and her breathing and the energy around her, she'll be able to sense her baby even more. So that's just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. I'm going to take one last share because we're running out of time. And that is going to be Marion. Go ahead, Marion.
Just real quick, was going to say I loved the breathing exercise. In fact, I could have fallen asleep. I like the tree one too. I just thought they were wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful. And so we see that everyone's going to respond very differently to both. And there's going to be different times when you're going to need both. So your homework for this week really is to play with all the different centering techniques I've mentioned, you know, taking a breath, going for a walk, sitting under a tree, sipping a glass of water, connecting to your spirit guides, saying a prayer, looking at a flower, patting your cat. I mean, I'm just trying to remember all the different ones, taking something to eat, having a bite to eat, just sensing your feet on the ground, you know, standing in the sun that was just shared. You know, you don't even have to write them down. You don't even have to have a list. It's just start to pay attention, you know. If you're about to call someone on the phone, before you call them, just take 30 seconds to do one of those techniques. If you're about to walk into a restaurant to have dinner with some friends, sit in the car and do one of those techniques. If you're about to go on a telecall, do one of those techniques. You know, just start to see, and you'll start to see that it will change what happens as soon as you open your mouth. You'll come from a very different place, and then what we're going to learn the next few weeks about freeing the body, being in your heart, will be easier because you'll be coming from a centered, grounded place. Some of you may already know some of these techniques. They may be familiar to you, but it may be that you've forgotten that you need to use them. So a lot of us know all this stuff, but we just aren't using it. So this week, I want you to, even if you want to keep track of it, do a tick every time you do it, or make a note in your notebook that you're using for this course every time you do it. Just something that encourages you. You know, stick a note on your fridge, take a breath, or walk around the block, or whatever your chosen ones are. Or do the tree technique. This is your week to really play with them, because I want you guys to report back next week what you noticed was different in your interactions with people, in your speaking opportunities, after having taken some time to center yourself. So that's brilliant. And also have a play with some of the techniques I talked about with reframing your thoughts. How significant is this? You know, is it really going to be the end of the world? You know, is this really the only time I'm ever going to get to talk about this? You know, because that kind of distorted thinking is what creates a lot of the stress and the nerves. You know, take an action that proves to yourself it's not so significant. what's the worst that can happen? So all of that stuff. So I've given you lots to play with this week. I'm glad I didn't get to do the intention stuff because that's a whole separate thing. We'll do that next week. So, but we've given you a lot already today. So I'm so grateful to all of you for being on this call. I'm going to unmute everybody. One last thing is make sure to share with each other on the Facebook group this week. So share your experiences, share the things you've learned, talk about practicing these techniques with each other, and that will be really, really, really helpful. Okay, see you all.
Bye.